anything you can think of, it's in the construction industry, which is cool. So I think a lot of people may not think about doing anything with construction in fields that aren't building something. You're not a carpenter or electrician or something like that. But we need those technology people. We need that influx of different perspectives and things like that in the industry.
Hello, innovators. I'm Todd Wyant, and welcome to the Bridging the Gap podcast, sponsored by Applied Software. You're invited to join our MEP and construction innovation adventure with a mission to propel this great industry forward. My guest today is Shane Hedman, who is the creator of Construction Junkie. He has a strong passion for construction technology and safety, as well as sharing the knowledge and insights he has gained throughout his career as an active construction project manager. Welcome to the show, Shane.
Thanks, Todd. And I guess I should say congratulations to the 2020 Best Podcast Competition winner that I hold every year. So not only did you win, you broke all the records. So we had the most nominees this year, and you guys had the most votes of any winner in any of the past. We had six competitions. I started in 2015. So congratulations on that. And well,
thank you.
Yeah, it speaks not only to your show, but also the growth of construction podcasting over the last 6 years.
For sure. Yeah, and thanks for putting it on. It was a fun, exciting little competition between the construction podcast and so appreciate it.
It's always fun when there's two contenders. You and Construction Brothers podcast are right there neck and neck the whole time, and they wanted it bad, and you came out on top. So
fun, healthy competition.
yeah. I was looking back at my first competition actually, which is 2015 when I started Construction Junkie. And I could only find four podcasts. I didn't do a nomination page that year. So it was just anyone I could find, I nominated. And then we held a vote, and two of those four aren't around anymore. Wow. And so there's only, two of those left. So it's podcasting has been around for almost 15 years now, and it seems like construction's getting in the game pretty solid now. So
for sure, there's a bunch of construction podcasts around. Well, it's interesting though, because podcasting as a platform, as you mentioned, it's been around for so long, but it seems like there's this big resurgency or new birth kind of podcasting. And now it's the cool thing to do. And everybody has one.
Yeah. And it was like everybody that didn't have a TV show had one. And then now people that have TV shows have a podcast too.
Yeah.
And but you can, the great thing about it is you can find any niche you want in construction, not just construction. You can find construction technology, obviously, design. There's one just about Bluebeam. Like there's anything you want. And if you can't find one, you can make one. And that's the great thing about it. So
for sure. Yeah. There's room for all of us in it too, because even if you're all focusing in on, construction technology, there's so many different aspects and angles and lenses that you can look at that through. So I listen to a ton of them. So it's really exciting to see the different viewpoints that are out there.
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad more people are doing it. I'm glad, you're doing your show. And I think it helps a lot. You hear different people's voice and perspective and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's beneficial for everybody involved.
Yeah, agree. I think it takes all of our collective voices to help push the industry forward and where it needs to go. And I think even over the last couple of years, you're seeing a lot of really cool growth and movement on that.
Yep.
So for those who don't know, let's back up. What is Construction Junkie?
So Construction Junkie is my blog. I started in 2015. I was a construction management major in college, and I'm a project manager now. So when I was in college, I was looking, we'd have projects and I tried to find some information. And back then, way back then, we had, everything was behind a paywall, or you had to sign up for an account or get a magazine. And that really wasn't how the rest of the internet worked. So I had a, you know, idea, and one of my best friend, you know, I talked to him about it a lot, and he actually started it with me. And so what it basically is I find things that I think are interesting and fun and cool about the construction industry, and I share them. So my background and my perspective is from that of a project manager. So I'm hoping that, you know, other people in the industry find that interesting. And that's kind of my angle. So I focus a lot on safety, because I've had a safety training background the past few years, you know, project management, tools, because everybody likes tools, you know, major news stories, and technology. Technology is a passion of mine. I've enjoyed technology my entire life, and it seems like the construction industry is in a bit of a tech boom right now. So it's been fun to cover that as well.
For sure. Yeah. 2020 has really spurred on technology adoption and digital transformation.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of running the Construction Junkie blog?
So I would say, like, you can know a lot about construction, but if you venture anywhere outside of your little comfort zone, you don't know. It turns out you don't know anything. So, you know, I my focus has been on commercial retail construction, which is a whole, you know, it's a thing of its own. But, you know, there's so much to learn about infrastructure and manufacturing and, you know, even residential. Everything's different. So the coolest thing is learning, you know, the differences between projects, not like projects, but different companies, how they interact. There's so many different methods and materials and things you might never see on the projects you're working on, but other industries use them all the time. So it's just an endless trove of information, and there's so many cool things happening out there, not only just projects, but like I said, technology, robotics and tools out there. It's just, there's so much to learn. It covers like every industry, but, you know, within itself too. So it's,
yeah. And there's so many nuances there as well.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you know, I've been in the industry for like 8 years, and I still like every day you learn something new, you learn a different way to do something.
Yeah.
So it's great. I mean, it makes it exciting. It's a challenge, but it's exciting.
Yeah. So what are some of the resources then that have kind of helped you along the way, keep up with all the news and the trends? Cause there's a lot.
Yeah. So I use a lot of, Feedly right now is my go-to. So I can aggregate all of the industry news and things like that, and Google alerts. And, you know, it's interesting how many, you just choose a buzzword and you have a Google alert, and you know, I read like 50 articles a day, and, you know, choose the ones that I think are interesting and something that could be learned something from.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a bunch of fluff and you got to get past those, but yeah, there's a lot out there, and it's hard to find the stuff that really is impactful.
Yeah. Interesting. So you said back in college, you majored in construction management. Well, what first it kind of attracted you into the industry?
So I grew up thinking I wanted to be an architect.
Oh,
if I was,
going over on the dark side there. I know.
So I don't know if I was, maybe that was my little George Costanza in me, my Art Vandelay inspiration. But I grew up wanting to be an architect, and, you know, I got into architecture school, and there's a lot more art in architecture than I was anticipating. So I'm not a good artist. I'm creative, but I'm not like super creative. So the program I was in was very creative, and it was not, didn't align with how my brain worked.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, I started there, and then, later in my freshman year, I transferred into construction management. Cause it was like, I really want the math, and I want, I'm kind of entrepreneurial at heart. And the great thing about construction is every project is kind of its own little business. Mm-hmm. So you have to do all the, you know, the accounting, the budgeting, you know, make sure it's profitable, make sure, you know, you stay on schedule. So it was kind of a natural progression towards that. I knew I wanted to build stuff and, you know, be involved with that process, but it took a little while to find the correct match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. The Bridging the Gap podcast is brought to you by Applied Software. With solutions for the modern project, Applied Software is on a mission to transform industries by empowering clients and championing innovation with real-world expert consultants. Their comprehensive array of solutions for AEC, MEP, and manufacturing has a singular focus, helping you achieve higher performance. With software, training, support, consulting, and custom development, Applied Software has you covered. Visit ASTI.com and let them know we sent you. What are some of the kind of the biggest trends that you're seeing in the construction industry recently?
So right now it's obviously the pandemic is changing a lot of things quickly. I've talked to a few technology companies and the biggest thing they're seeing is an extreme jump in usage of their platforms. Mm-hmm. So especially if they have inspection forms, so safety inspections are big. A lot of the 360 photo documentation programs are big. Obviously Zoom meetings, Microsoft Teams, things like that, anything you can remotely communicate. Those seem to be the biggest things right now where you don't have as many people going to a job site, but you still need to communicate because these projects aren't stopping in most cases. Mm-hmm. But they got to keep going, and 360 photo documentation is perfect for that. Obviously Zoom calls where you can meet like normal in a job trailer, but only have one or two people on site, you know, and all the sub trades dialing in remotely. Mm-hmm. So that's a big trend right now. You know, AI is another great trend. I think we're seeing a lot more of, and that was even before the pandemic. But the cool thing about AI is that we have, by nature, construction has a ton of data that we collect, mm-hmm. but it's all in recent past. It's all been paper and pen, stored in a file. So as we move digitally, you're starting to see that data actually start to mean something. Mm-hmm. And AI is a great tool for that, because I don't know how many people have the time to go through thousands of pages of documents, a spec book. You know, the spec book can be, you know, 4 or 5 inches thick or more. You know, you got hundreds of pages of construction documents. You got thousands and thousands of pictures to sort through, and AI can kind of sort through that and format it for you in a way where you can gain data insights like you never have before. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, Struction Site is a 360 photo documentation software. OpenSpace is another one. They both came out with an AI powered progress tracking this year. So they're starting with, both of them are starting with drywall and framing, because those are of the trades. Those are the ones that are very similar, very standardized. Mm-hmm. I mean, framing looks like framing. It's steel studs and, you know, wood studs, and drywall is drywall. So, sure. those are the easiest places to start, but they're taking the pictures that you've already taken from your site, and they're able to quantify how much has been done. So you can either quantify that based on what your schedule is supposed to be, mm-hmm. or, you know, just from a standpoint of how close are we to finishing? How far do we have to go? You know, you can rely on, you know, people's word of, you know, what the subtrade says, but having data backing that up is even more powerful than that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then, you know, object search is another one. OpenSpace has a, you know, you can just click around an object and it'll find other objects that are similar to that around the job site. So what's cool about that is, it's not only just you can find things if you're missing them or wondering where they're at, but it shows you over time where those things have moved. So it gives you some indication of what progress you've made. So if you have, if you can find like spools of wire. So if you can see that the spool of wire has moved from first floor to second floor to third floor, and then, or maybe you had five spools of wire 3 weeks ago, and now you only have two spools of wire. That means a lot of wire got pulled.
Yeah.
So it's kind of another visual key for how you're doing. So you got multiple floors and, you know, several hundred thousand square feet. There's a lot of stuff to be missed, and that can give you a good indication of what's going on there.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you think the industry as a whole will really kind of come to embrace AI, or will it just be kind of selective innovators?
I think we should. I don't know if, you know, I think it's been hard enough to get people to adopt technology at all to begin with. It's just kind of crazy to me, you know, based on how everything else is.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we tend to be last in the progress department, but I think we're making a lot of big strides. And I think as people start realizing the benefits of technology, that AI is the obvious next step, because if you're just gathering a bunch of stuff and you can't find it or make any sense of it, then you lose out on so much benefit of that. So I think AI is just a great add-on to the actual meat and potatoes of a program, at least right now.
What do you think the hesitancy of the industry is to really embrace new tech? I mean, is it just culturally that's the way it's kind of always been, so people are stuck in that, or is there something?
I think there's a lot of reasons. One is obviously cost, because overhead and construction is the worst thing you can have. Because how do you bake that into your bid? The low bidding process doesn't facilitate you spending money on things that are quote unquote unnecessary. So that's a problem there. You have to determine that there's an actual ROI. There might be a benefit add, but how do you determine that it actually saved you money? Mm-hmm. So that's a hard one to get across.
Is that the right, I agree with you, but is that the right kind of mental framework paradigm that people should be looking at it through? Because the benefit, you know, it might not have a hard quantifiable, here's your dollar that you're getting back. But if it has a big benefit to the team and it makes something, you know, more streamlined or processes more efficient, that ROI is there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it's hidden kind of.
Yeah.
It's hard to, when you haven't been doing it for 100 years, and your company's been going on for 100 years, it's hard to get that mentality shift.
Yeah, that leap, you know, is a big leap.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where people have to start thinking about not just current ROI, but future ROI.
Right.
So if you're going to start losing projects because you're not up with the times, you're still faxing and doing, you know, handwritten invoices, which are still prevalent, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
But I get them all the time. I get faxes, and I don't even get my fax number out. I
mean, the fact that anybody still faxes.
Yeah, I know. So,
like, come on. That's like six technologies back at least.
Yeah. But I mean, handwritten invoices is like, how do you track that? How do you know what you're actually spending, what's coming in? Some of these companies don't even know that where they're at until the end of the year. So, yeah. I think there's future ROI that people have to start embracing too, because I think people are going to, owners and even architects and engineers, they're going to start expecting you to be able to do some of these things. So the upfront cost is one thing. You also have, you do have a little bit of, we've always done it this way. It's still kind of prevalent. It's worked this way for this long, and why doesn't it You know, why can't we just keep moving forward? Another big one is people in the construction industry are really busy. So in a lot of ways, adding technology seems like more work for people. Mm-hmm. Whereas it may not in the long term, but adding technology to your current processes and then, you know, doing the training and follow up and changing people's mindsets and, you know, badgering people to fill stuff out, reports and things like that. They may already be doing them, but, you know, changing their typical process, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. And, sure.
You know, when, you know, there's, you don't just have one project going on. Typically you got two or three or four, you know, depending on the size of them. So it's, you got to find the right people that embrace it on the site. And then if you can get those people to embrace it, then you can start slowly spreading it. I think a lot of people they'll buy into some technology or a new product or something. They'll have one person try it and they give it a try and they don't put much effort into it. And they say, this doesn't work. And then and they move on. Then it's a failure. So it's hard work. You can't just throw new technology in there and expect it to work right away. You have to put a lot of time and effort into it. And, you know, when you're working on a project, you got a timeline, you got a schedule, you got a budget. Those are the most important things. And trying to fit something else on top of that can be a struggle sometimes.
The Bridging the Gap podcast is brought to you by Applied Software's Live Lab Learning, a virtual classroom experience where students can listen, interact, and learn from veteran real-world application specialists in real time from anywhere in the world. Live Lab is the affordable, convenient way for your staff to take Autodesk certified training courses and even earn some AIA continuing education credits, all from the comfort of your own office. Visit ASTI.com for more information and let them know we sent you. Yeah, I think you definitely have to go into like a new technology implementation eyes wide open and have it a well thought out process of this is going to take some time. We need to give it, you know, X amount of time to really get up on just the basics of the software before we start to see a lot of the efficiency gains.
I almost think
coming in.
Yeah. I almost think it's sometimes it's easier to start a new business than an old one, you know?
Yeah. It might be depending on who's there. You know, I think that's a culture of it. You know, it's important to focus on the culture of innovation and that kind of growth mindset. If you have people that are very hard and set, this is the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
Good luck getting them to change.
Yeah.
You know, you're not.
There was a cool article. I wrote about an article a while ago about reverse mentorship.
Yeah.
Which that was cool. A cool way to introduce technology. So, you know, you have these seasoned superintendents who are incredibly knowledgeable, mm-hmm. everything, you know, how to run a project and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they may not care about phones or tablets or any technology that comes on. So in a sense, the reverse mentorship is you take a younger person that's just starting out, who's well-versed in technology. They mentor the superintendent or the foreman or the more veteran project managers on how to use the program. And in turn, those people mentor them on how to, you know, professionally on how to run projects and things like that. So I thought that was a cool, you don't think about that very often, a new person training a veteran,
yes.
But sometimes that would be what's necessary. And
yeah, I'm all about that. I think that the more we can break down silos and communication barriers, as well as getting the best of both worlds, because you have this great real world experience and expertise. And then you have some newer people come into an industry that have technology just kind of embedded in their DNA. And so how do you bring both along Are you bridging their weaknesses? Yeah. I was trying very hard not to, not to say the phrase, but
I could sense it.
And, you know, that's why we named it. It comes in handy, but yeah, you know, I think that's a great way to bridge the technology gap as well as the expertise, the real world experience there gap.
Yeah.
It's huge. So with all the move to digital with COVID, do you think that it's going to last, or as things start opening back up, will people slowly start slipping back into their habit?
I think the longer it goes on, the better chance you have it of lasting. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's already been 6 months, so
it's crazy.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I think it'll depend on the industry somebody's in, size of the company, how well the technology they adopted performed during that time. But I do think it's going to change a lot of people's perception of working remotely. But really it's hard to be in construction and not be on site looking at things with your own eyes, mm-hmm. even with, all these great tools and things like that. Getting on site, dealing with people, there's such a, it's such a people business as much as it is a building business, you know, building those personal connections and just seeing things that, as you're walking a site, it can be so beneficial. So I think there'll be some yo-yo effect, but, I think there's going to be a bit more understanding of not being on the site all the time, or, you know, mm-hmm. a little more flexibility, I guess, yeah. with that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what of the old way kind of comes creeping back in and what processes stick around and get latched onto. And then how do you blend the best of both worlds together?
Yeah.
Because it is super important to be on site, but there's tech that can enhance that when you are on site that would be really handy to use and help streamline processes and kind of bridge the gap between office and field as well.
Yeah. One of the cool things that I think could be really beneficial for a lot of people. But I guess it's a little bit concerning too at the same time as virtual inspections.
Oh yeah.
So inspections can be, you know, really time consuming, and you don't know when really they're showing up, and there's only so many inspectors out there. So reducing travel time on them and being able to, with the video, walk them around the job site and have them inspect things, I think could be a pretty cool benefit in most cases. In some cases I do, you know, obviously inspections are very necessary, and you don't want people playing games with, you know, structural inspections and things like that.
Yeah. But
in certain cases, I think that could be a cool benefit. There's been a lot of jurisdictions that have been a little more lenient on that kind of thing. And I think the ICC actually came out with some recommendations for how to handle virtual inspections on job sites. So that could be a cool, I guess, little bonus.
Yeah.
From all this.
Yeah. Very nice. Well, what's a common myth about the construction industry that you'd like to debunk?
I guess the joke answer was that we're not a bunch of like sloppy dudes, steel beam catcalling women.
It is funny that perception is still stuck in some people's minds.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, I think it does happen. Still, it was just a little crazy, but it's not all like that. There's really great people in the industry, really talented, nicest people you ever meet. You know, that's a big one, but, building on that, I would say it's not just construction is so much more than just, trades and project management now. Mm-hmm. We've got, there's a whole industry of construction technologists, there's robotics, there's anything you can think of. It's in the construction industry, which is cool. So I think a lot of people you know, may not think about doing anything with construction in fields that aren't building something. You're not a carpenter or an electrician or something like that. But you know, we need those technology people. We need that influx of different perspectives and things like that in the industry. And it's we're becoming more diverse, and especially with you know, getting more women in the trades and project managers, and yeah, just there's just a lot of cool things happening.
The Bridging the Gap podcast is brought to you by Evolve MEP. MEP construction software for Revit. Evolve's MEP software for Revit makes project collaboration fast, simple, and more productive, which in turn significantly reduces project risk and cost. Born from the reality of a lack of available skilled labor in the industry, Evolve MEP has transformed the MEP detailer workflow. It's time for MEP to harness the Revit platform to offer seamless collaboration like no other software before it. Visit evolvemep.com and let them know we sent you. Yeah, that tech part of the construction industry is always really fascinating to me, that there's just so much more tech in the industry than what people are aware of, or I think even people inside the industry are aware of, that the construction industry just doesn't really talk about the amount of innovation and the tech that's there. You can do some cool stuff inside the industry, and creating more awareness around and really success stories of sharing how people have pulled it off to make it come off the page and into the real world, have that social proof, I think is kind of the missing piece there. But there's some cool stuff going on.
Yeah. And technology is such a broad term too. Like even prefab kind of things, prefab, different building methods.
Yeah.
This is in England. This company built a prefab factory on top of their building, and it, with hydraulics, it raised the factory as they built the levels. Like that's cool. Like
I've seen that. That's mind blowing. It's very cool.
Yeah. Like I never even thought of that. Who thinks of building a factory on top of a building you're building?
Yeah. Somebody very outside the box.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, I mean, I guess that would be considered technology, but you know, it's not all just tablets and smartphones and stuff like that. So,
yeah, definitely. So, what does innovation mean to you?
Oh man, there's a lot going on. So, you know, obviously you have to change what you're doing a little bit to be innovative. But I mean, you talk about different materials. I mean, think about, we've been using wood, concrete, and steel for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people that are spending a lot of time and money trying to figure out how to reduce carbon footprint of concrete, or make things that are lighter but stronger than steel. And you know, how do we make wood more fire resistant, or more eco-friendly using wood or even concretes, and it takes a lot of heat to create Portland cement. So how do we reduce the heat that needs to be created for that? So you have a lot of material innovation, and then you have technological innovation on apps and hardware for that. There's we're changing the way people actually build things. There's so many companies building exoskeletons to, you know, to give you not really super strength, but even more strength. So you reduce that fatigue and long-term ailments from your back and your knees and your shoulders and things like that. Overhead work is grueling, and you do that 8 hours a day. You get some big arms, but you know, a little help from an exoskeleton.
It doesn't help from Iron Man. It's not going to hurt.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You look cool too when you're doing it. You know, so you got hardware and software, and then building methods, like we talked about, the people building a prefab shop above a site. There's also people doing like top-down construction, which is a really cool thing. If you haven't seen that, you build underground and above ground at the same time. So you're digging as you're building up.
How's that work?
You build like a foundation, and then you basically have a tunnel. Uh-huh. Like there was a project in, I think it's like Australia. I think I wrote about this a couple of years ago. It was a high rise building. So I'm trying to remember the exact details, but you build like a structure around the base that allows you to build vertically.
Yeah.
And then as they're building vertically, you excavate like a tunnel basically. And it allows you to keep digging down. So if you go to a parking garage, so you keep digging down, excavating, and then building the concrete up. So it reduces time overall in the project.
Interesting. That's cool and terrifying all at the same time.
I know. And that's another thing. It's like, how did you think about that? And the coordination of all that going into each other, how do you keep it safe? And
yeah,
kind of stuff. So innovative methods, there's a lot of innovation there's a lot of innovation going on in the construction industry. It's, and there's a lot to innovate. That's why it's exciting. You know, we've been doing this, people have been building as long as they've been alive, or, you know, as long as humans have existed, mm-hmm. and animals build. So, you know, as we evolve and come up with new and different exciting ways to do this, generally to do the same thing, but in a different way. And
yeah,
you know, increase the speed and accuracy and
all for that. Sure. Looking out over the next couple of years, what's the most exciting thing for you about construction?
Kind of going back to AI, that's really my most exciting thing, because data is so important. I'm a data guy. I like to see, overall trends, micro and macro data. So how are we doing as an industry? You know, surveys can only tell you so much, but if you have data from thousands and thousands of different points of time and from different people, it's different from what people might give you on a survey. Mm-hmm. They tell you what they perceive to be the truth. There's a data actually... Data is what it is. And you can interpret that data in different ways, but it's going to be interesting to me to see how data is being collected by tech companies and how it kind of shapes where we go. Mm-hmm. Another thing that's, it's could be a little big brothery. How do you control that big data? But I'm excited about it.
Too far gone for that.
Yeah, I know. It's
Google's listening to everything already.
So, but actually having something tangible in your hands to be able to understand. I don't even know if we know where we're at right now as an industry. What are the standards? What's our basis of information? There's some things probably out there that we just believe to be true that probably aren't, because mm-hmm. we can't talk to each other. A lot of us don't talk to our rivals. Companies don't reveal their either inner secrets and how much they make, or how long it takes them to do certain tasks, or how they run their business. But if you can get that macro data, you don't have to know who's doing what, but you know the benchmark.
Yeah,
for what you're trying to achieve. So, and then from a micro standpoint, on each one of your projects, you build a much richer data history. So you can be more profitable, know where your deficiencies are, as far as schedule or time, time for a task or money or something like that. So, I just think there's a lot to be. We have all that data in our files, in our folders, and even in our computers, but actually doing something with that data is the most exciting thing for me.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, how do people get a hold of you or sign up for Construction Junkie alerts?
So you can go to constructionjunkie.com. So I post almost every business day new story, tools, technology, safety, news. You sign up for my newsletter. It goes out every Monday. I don't spam you. It's right there. There's a link on the top of the page there. And follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all that fun stuff. So.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on and joining the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.
Appreciate it. And thank you to all those listening. If you are interested in learning more, you can visit our sponsor, Applied Software, at ASTI.com. You can listen to this podcast anytime by simply going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, be sure to check out our website, bridgingthegappod.com. Until next time, I'm Todd Wyant, thanking you for joining us on the Bridging the Gap podcast. Keep innovating. Thanks for listening to the Bridging the Gap podcast. Enjoyed the episode? Leave us a rating or review while sharing with your friends and coworkers. I'd love to hear from you. Send me a LinkedIn request or follow our LinkedIn page and let me know if there's a topic you'd like to hear. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. Bridging the Gap is directed by Todd Wyant, edited and produced by Eric Daniel. Bridging the Gap is an Applied Software production. Copyright Applied Software 2020.